Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Actually, me and Kayla have a testimony. This morning while we were on the way, so she had a, we played against an egg, and that is not the testimony. that was rough. It was like watching your kids get beat up and there's nothing you could do about it. It was tough. But they actually had, they needed somebody to play. It was kind of last minute. So I talked to the other coach we do the spring training with, and I was like, hey, we got a lot to work on. We actually played against a team. They did full court traps, full court press, zone defense. And, you know, in our league, they don't have that. So it was a good learning experience, to say the least. We actually did pretty good, though, in the second half. But while we were on the way to the game, there was a car that was out. I really want to say, like, we're on the freeway, and 500 to 1,000 feet in front of us did a total 180 in front of us. Like, if any cars would have hit him, we would have been in that accident as well. Thank God he actually hit the side, and it looked like that person was okay. Nothing, no crazy damage, but it just shows that God is always keeping his hand on you. Like I said, if any car would have hit him, it would have been like a, you know how it is in the rain, you really couldn't see. Like, when I saw the headlights of the car, I was like, that looks weird, you know, and it was like, oh, snap, a car just spun out because you couldn't see it with the rain that was coming down, and it was raining quite a bit today. So I just thank God for us being okay, but I just thank God also for that person, that nobody actually got hit during that drive. Amen. So God keeps his hands on us, and I'm thankful for him doing that. And in the midst of everything that we go through, we can just be thankful. Amen. So I just wanted to make sure I shared that, and just ask for God's protection when you go, because he will protect you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for this day, the opportunity to be here to share your word to your people, dear God. And I pray to God that this word would impact, would instill strength, wisdom, insight into who you are and who we are called to be in your kingdom, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Last week, I talked about, does anybody know what I talked about? Help me out. Somebody should know what I talked about last week. And I know last week for us, some of us, it was like, that really feels like last year sometimes when it comes to what did Pastor talk about? But I talked about putting to death sin. I talked about we must die with Christ. You guys remember that? How Jesus died, and because he died, we must die to sin as well. Amen. And we should not, the Bible actually says we must die to sin so it does not reign in our mortal bodies. And actually, that's going to be in Colossians chapter 3, which I'm going to read today. But if you forgot what I preached about, guess what? You can always go to the podcast, and it's the big black thing. It's not going. It should just give you a number. So anyway. We check it out on the podcast. Go to newcreationwa.org, and you can do it. It's right here. And, you can check out my sermon and Pastor Harold's sermon. He preached on Sunday as well. Amen? And let me get into this. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to go 1 through 11. And why is it important to talk about we have to put to death. Last week I said die to sin. Today we're going to talk about die to our will, okay? Why is this important as Christians? Now, I had a conversation yesterday with some friends, and we were just talking about how it's just like people want to do whatever they want to do. They come under the umbrella of Christianity, and they think they have a get-out-of-hell-free card, but I can do what I want to do. Guess what? Our will has to really be surrendered to God for us to be walking in a purpose and the plans that God has for our lives. Amen? So, for example, I got my iPad, you're good. I cannot be worried about what everybody else thinks, how the world views me, or even how, like when we talk about our will must be in alignment with God, it's going to change a lot of things that we do. Not because we're trying to be holier than thou, but we are striving for perfection. Okay? The Bible says, be ye holy, or you should be holy, for I am holy. That's what the word of God says. So our job is to try to be holy. And the way to be holy, first, we have to know what holy is by reading his word. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and hop into this chapter. I'm going to break it down. Colossians chapter 3, it says, if then you were raised with Christ. Now, how do we know we were raised with Christ? Because we had died to our sin, okay? It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. When you say that, we must seek the things that God seeks. Okay? When we look at our will, we must say, God, just like Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. Even though I might not want to do it my way, or I do want to do it my way, right? This is where the battle of wills come. And I'm not talking about like Will Ferrell and Will, you know, I'm not talking about those wills. But this is the battle of your will versus God's will. And guess what? This battle happens and will happen every day. Okay? When you get saved, it is now a turnaround. You're going in another direction, but you have to stay on course. Amen? You don't get saved and be like, oh, let me change my course. No, now the course is pleasing God. So we must, in order to get our will and our mind right, we must seek the things that God seeks. Now, once again, in order to do that, you have to know what his word says. Have anybody ever had something that you didn't know what it was, but it came with a manual? And when you got the manual, you were able to figure it out? That's what God's word is for us. It's the manual for life. It shows us how to walk like Christ. Verse 2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Now, I think sometimes we get caught up in this scripture right here in verse 2. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. What that battle happens, and in this battle, it's, man, I really got to provide for my family. For example, somebody that says, I'm going to forsake the gathering of the saints, and I'm going to go make some money, right? Now, let's be honest. Everybody has to make money, but we have to make sure our money is not driving everything we do, okay? If I seek the things that are above, one thing that I must be doing, I must be praying for insight and say, God, what do you want me to do? We need to get to places in our lives where this happens more often. God, is this pleasing to you? I have this business opportunity, God, but let me seek what you want first. Let me sit still and listen to your still small voice. so that I can seek the things that are above. Because we've heard people say this before, everything that glitters is not gold. All right? Some things that look hot are really cold. Okay? What I'm saying is every opportunity that we look at with our earthly eyes may be detrimental to our spirits. Even if it's, oh, it looks good. Right? A job can be good unless it takes you away from God. Right? A job is a good thing. But when it starts to make you not seek God, are you more concerned about your job or your career? Let me say careers, because, you know, we got a lot of millennials or a lot of entrepreneurs these days working for themselves, right? I'm a millennial myself. But when you think about what you do, it should not overexceed who God is in your life. And what? How do you even check that? You have to make sure, oh, am I pleasing God with what I do? God, I want to make sure you're excited about what I'm doing. Not me just going and doing something because I think it's a good thing. And catch this. I preached on this before. You can be doing things for God and miss what God has for you. Thinking that you're doing something that God really wants. Okay? For example, in the Bible, we saw the lady bring the alabaster box and anoint Jesus's feet with that perfume, right? And the disciples, and it didn't just say one disciple, it says that alabaster box could have been sold to help people, right? Now, that in our mind, if we think with our mind, that could be a good thing. But this was part of Jesus being prepared for his burial, okay? So they missed it. Now, she didn't miss it because she was sent for that purpose, okay? But she could have said, let me sell this and give the money to the disciples and miss what God had for her. You see how that works? So we must check with God. Verse 3 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Thank God. Verse 5 says, therefore, put to death, and we've heard me preach some on this before, put to death your members which are on the earth. So it talks about these things that we have or these things that we partake in that are no longer what God desires for us. And when I say no longer, it is not what God desires for us. These were never things that God thought was cool. Okay? But in our sinful nature, these are things that people thought are cool. For example, today, many things that were considered taboo or really bad back in the day have been kind of accepted, right? It's normal for people on a Friday and Saturday night to go get drunk. It's normal for people in the world to sleep around. I just met you today. Let's get it on, right? It's normal for those type of behaviors in the world. And what happens is, if you're not watching yourself, you become accustomed to this world and you look with the eyes of the world. We're talking about dying to your will, but it starts with what you are looking at, okay? Am I looking to God for direction for my life, or am I looking with my own eyes to please myself? Okay? Because realistically, sin is pleasurable. The Bible says sin is good for a season, but it brings forth death. Okay? And sin, especially in the world that we live in, is comfortable. For example, let me explain that. Have you ever, as a Christian, been around somebody that said they want to do something and they had a lot of people that were saying, yeah, let's go do it. And you were like, nah, I can't do it. I'm trying to live for God. Guess what? How you feel in that moment? Do you feel comfortable? No, you feel real awkward. You feel like the left foot, there's nothing wrong with the left foot. Let me clarify that. You feel like you left out, okay? The third wheel. You kind of just feel like, man, I'm trying to honor God, but it's so hard because sin is comfortable because sin usually has a lot of people that are involved in it, right? Misery loves, as the Bible says, company. That's why the things people engage in, usually there's a lot of people that promote it. They think it's good. And then when we try to tell somebody about Jesus, they're like, there's only a few people here. Why is he so good? Because in sin, when you look with the eyes of sin, it is comfortable. But if I looked in the eyes of God when I say that, guess what? I should feel comfortable. Because now I know who I am. See, the Bible even says that many of us lived this way before we came to Christ. And the things that we did back in the day, we are not proud of. It says that you are ashamed of the way that you used to live. Because you realize your eyes have been opened to what God's will is for your life. God's will, not our will. We must put to death our will. Verse 5 says, therefore, put to death your in your members, which are on the earth. See, we see how it talks about looking at with the eyes of the earth. This is what the earth eyes brings about. Fornication. All right. Uncleanness. Passion. Now, does that mean everything that is passion is wrong? No. These are just wrongly passions. Okay. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And here's that verse I actually just said. It says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Okay? So let me stop there for a second. Verse 6 is a very interesting scripture. It says, because of these things, the wrath of God will be poured out. Now, I talked about the wrath of God on the sons of disobedience, right? The wrath of God is, I don't know if you ever watched a movie where somebody hurt somebody's children and then at the end of the movie, they get them back, right? And I mean, when they get a chance, they're gonna go all the way in. Like, they're not leaving nothing held back. Okay, look, yeah, that people, let me get a better picture. Did you guys, we read the stories of Joshua capturing people where he hung people by their thumbs, right? Cut their thumbs off. You know what I mean? Like, imagine something so gruesome. And God does it. Okay? The unlimited God is storing up wrath for sons of disobedience. Okay? So we're talking about put to death our will, right? Why do we want to put that to death? Because our will can lead us in that place where God's wrath will be poured out on us. Now, we don't want that. And I'm not trying to scare you into serving God. I say this, when we tell people that if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you might go to hell. Some people really don't believe it, so they don't care. And you can't scare somebody into serving God. It'll only last for a little bit. But their heart has to be gripped. When we look at the story of Acts, we read this in the Bible study this week, where Peter shared the gospel to them. It says their hearts were gripped, and they said, what must we do? Right? What should I do? I heard what you preach, and now I feel like there is something that I must do. And he said, repent and be baptized. Right? There was a gripping that occurred. And when we surrender our will to God, I watched a movie. In this movie, it was actually a really good movie. It's called A Matter of Faith. If you got Netflix, it's on there, okay? A Matter of Faith. It's a Christian movie. And I'm not going to tell the whole movie, But there was this point in this movie where the young man told the young girl, he said, did you accept Jesus Christ just because you thought it was a good thing to do? Or did you surrender your will to God? And I was blown away. I'm listening to that like, bro, because he said there's a huge difference just because if you think it's the right thing to do. But if you don't surrender your will to God, it's not going to, you're really just trying to be a good person. And you're not going to experience God in the way that he was made to be experienced. So the fact that you are willing to surrender your will to God makes a difference to God. Because if you think about it, that's what Jesus, the whole point of Jesus coming down to earth, walking on earth, being holy, without sin, blameless, and even going to the cross was, God, not my will, but your will be done. He surrendered his will to go through those 33 years that he lived on this earth. Now, some people, we older than 33. Some people. We're like, Jesus had it easy. He only had 33 years. But the Bible says that he was tempted just like us. And I don't know about you, but I don't know what 40 days in the wilderness of temptation is like. Imagine that, where it's nonstop temptation. Now, we only see at the end of the 40 days or in the midst of it, but I believe that the devil was trying to do so much to keep Jesus from surrendering his will. My dad talks about this. Adam and Eve surrendered their will to the devil when they ate the fruit because they obeyed his voice. Part of surrendering your will to God is obeying God's voice and not another voice. Amen? We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. All right, it says, now we got rid of those wills. And verse 8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, all right, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Now, does the Bible say something about not saying filthy language? It says, get rid of those things, right? But it just comes out. That's your will. You have to say, God, help my will to change. Help me get something else that comes out when I go through something. When I feel like something's going on, may I just pray instead? My dad used to do that on the basketball court. Be like, Lord Jesus, help me. Right? Because, you know, most people in the court, they saying all kind of things. So instead of saying bad things, we just start praying. Lord, help me. Jesus, come on. God, help me. You know what I mean? And by doing that, people were like, wow, did he just say that? You know, it's funny to them because they're like, he could have just said a curse word or something, but he's praying that God helps him, right? It's learning different things, learning to do God's will in our lives, even in the little areas, amen? Verse 8, 9 says, do not lie with one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed. Somebody say renewed. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So when we talk about the will of God, it is our job to understand what God's word says about us being the new man, so our mind and our spirits and our will can be renewed. You guys catch that? If we don't know God's word, this is important. This is why we have to dig into his word. If you don't read the Bible consistently, I will challenge you to read one chapter a day. Just one chapter. Read one chapter a day. And if you don't understand something about it, what I do, if I don't catch, I don't really understand what they said, I try to look at the Amplified. I look at the, me personally, I read the New King James Version. I like it. It doesn't have all the these and thous, because me personally, I don't speak with those. If somebody else does, that's okay, right? But I have never been the person that says, how are thee doing today? Right? I mean, we got to be real. That was how the people talk back in the day, right? Or, and then we don't answer, well, thy is fineth. You know, I don't talk like that. Matter of fact, sometimes when I read some of that stuff, I get lost. Okay? One of the worst books that I ever had to read in my life, and it probably was actually a good book, was The Scarlet Letter. Did anybody ever read that book? Right. Now, if we didn't read it with the whole class, and we weren't forced to read that book, after the first chapter, I would have been like, man, I'm not feeling this. Because it had old King James lingo in it, right? So I don't know if they have a new King James version of the red letter, scarlet letter. Who knows, right? Might be easier to catch. But that book was a long and gruesome book for me, to say the least. But what I am saying is, read a chapter. Get familiar. If I gave you the blueprints on how to be wealthy in your life, and it's in your house, but you don't read it, so you remain poor, who's at fault? Right? That person that doesn't open it up. Now, the Bible gives us all kind of riches, not just financial, spiritual riches, I'm sorry, spiritual insight, direction, right? It gives us identity. But many of us just be like, I don't know if I should read the Bible, or I don't have time to read the Bible. Thus, you don't know, as it said in that verse, in verse 10, you're putting on a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. If you don't know him who created you by reading his word, you cannot be made new. So you're still dying. Dying because you don't know God's will. And you're trying to do it your way. In order to be consistent in the Bible, I tell you guys this a lot. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is read the Word of God. Now, I have several devotions that I do. One of the devotions that I do is just to get through the Bible in a year. It has seven passages of Scripture all throughout the Bible. It breaks it up. So I'm reading something in Genesis. I start something in Genesis. Another thing is in Judges. You know what I mean? Another thing is in Psalms. Another thing is in Isaiah. Another thing is in one of the Gospels. And then there's another thing in Colossians or something like that. To make sure I get enough word in me. I don't think it's okay. Now, I will say this. A scripture a day. you know, they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But one scripture might not always keep the enemy away. Especially if it's random scriptures. That's why I say make it a point to get into the Word of God for yourselves. Amen? So you can be renewed. Somebody say, I want to be renewed. I mean, come on, man. If you had the option to buy a very old used car that is not in good shape and a car that is brand new that nobody has touched and is spotless clean, who's going to take the old one when you're getting it for the same price? Right? Nobody does that. You don't go to the store and say, let me get that half used bottle of ketchup. How much can I get that for? Have you ever seen somebody do that with some ketchup? No. First of all, why is it half used? What happened? But guess what? When you turn down God's word, that's what you're initially doing. I think I got this. Let me get that. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to buy that broken vase instead of that vase that's fixed, or not vase that's fixed, that vase that's made whole. Let me get the broken one. That's what we do when we don't surrender our will to God because we don't just read his word. It says, verse 9, I'm going to start there again. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And when it talks about that, it is talking about when you are renewed. Okay? That scripture breaks down any division that people try to create. Guess what? As a black man, if a white man is renewed in his mind, he's my brother. I shouldn't look at him any differently. If an Asian is renewed in his mind, he's set free and saved, I should look at that person as my brother. Because there is no difference now because we are one in Christ. All right? Unfortunately, because of things that go on in this world, we are seeing the rise of separation beginning to happen again. Right? We're Christians. I was around somebody, and I won't say this person's name, but he said something, and it shocked me. He was like, I hate white people. And I was like, bro, this is a Christian that said that. And I was like, man. Okay. You can't make a statement like that being saved. Right? Now, you might not have gotten along with a lot of people, but that doesn't mean you say, I hate them. Because hate is not of God unless you are hating the things that God hates. Catch that. God doesn't hate people. He hates sin. He hates the things, really, he hates the things that separates people from him. That's what he hates, because God desires to be in relationship with you. All right, I'm going to go to this scripture, 16 in Colossians, 16 through 17. And we had this scripture, actually part of it was for the conference that we did. But I think it's very important that we catch this, because in dying to our will, guess what? God gives us new will. Okay? Before you might have had this purpose in your life, God will give you the new purpose. He will renew the purpose. You might even be doing sometimes when you get saved, before you got saved, you were doing something, and God may want to use that you were doing, but he's going to show you how you can use it to bring him glory. Okay? For example, if you were a teacher before you got saved, you should not stop being a teacher because you got saved. Right? Now, as a teacher, not only am I going to teach whatever I am called to teach, now I'm going to see how I can use my teaching to bring glory to God. Okay? I know I've interviewed a lot of rappers who got, before they got saved, they were rapping. And many of them stopped rapping for a long time because they're like, I don't think God wants me to use that. Then as they grew in God, which I think is key, as they grew in God, they said, man, God really wants me to use this to bring glory to him. So now the same thing they were doing in the world to really for their own will, God reverses it and says, use this for my will. Okay? That's what God does. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ, somebody say the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You should be rich with God's word. Okay. When you are doing God's will, you're saying, okay, let me get to know God's will so much that if I had a bank account, I don't want it to just say $1,000. Okay? Now, I don't know about you. The first time I got $1,000, I was stoked. I was excited. I saw $1,000 in my bank account, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Then I spent $200 of it. I was like, dang, it's going fast. Only got $800, right? I had to spend another $200 on something else. Man, it's only six. At $1,000, I realized, because I wasn't born back where, you know, burgers were 25 cents, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's a different world back then. You had if you had $1,000 back then, I would be balling, right? Balling, which means rich. But when I had my first $10,000 in the bank, same thing. Ooh, 10,000. Oh, yeah, I got 10 G's in the bank. After you start paying bills, oh, man. Now, I haven't got to 100,000, but I'm pretty sure the same feeling starts to happen, right? And I heard a singer say, when you have that kind of money, you have higher bills you have to pay for some reason. Now, I really think that when God's word is in you, you should have such an amount of his word in you where you're like, it don't even matter what I don't even need to look at the bank because I know I'm set. I don't need to balance it, right? I don't need to go check and make sure my balance is good because I have unlimited riches in his word. Okay? We should look at it like that. If you had a bank account that said, or it was funny, it was a commercial that I just saw this week where these people were walking around with how much energy they actually had left in them. Have you seen that, Sister Jane? Okay, so, and it's about drinking those 5-hour energy drinks, right? But it says somebody got 9% of energy left and they just walking, barely making it. Somebody got 25 and they jogging and they, oh, I can't, oh man. You know, and then you got somebody that drinks this 5-hour energy and they just, oh yeah, I'm great. Got 100%. But if you had that meter on top of you that said how much word is in you, that could be scary for some of us, right? If you're not feeding your spirit though, it shows. And the way that you talk and the choices that you make. So we got to let it dwell in us richly to the point where we are singing psalms about it. Hymns, spiritual songs. Not only that, teaching and admonishing somebody else. Do you know that God wants you to be able to teach people God's word? Each and every one of us? You know, we think, oh, that's just the pastor's job. No, if you know God's word, it is okay to share his word, right? If you see a good, I mean, we do it when we see great things. My wife see a great recipe on Facebook, she's sharing that joint. Ooh, these tacos, they made it in the shape of a heart. Who wants this? Everybody like. Ooh, who's making this? Oh, I'm going to go try to make it tonight, right? And you share a scripture and you don't get as many likes because people want to do their own thing. That doesn't satisfy them like a picture of tacos does. And you can't even eat tacos in a picture, right? Can you? Can you eat a picture of tacos? Somebody help me, please. No, you can't eat a picture of tacos. You can't eat, well, actually you could, but it won't taste like you think it's going to taste like. But you can't eat a picture on your phone of tacos unless you actually eat your phone. And that still, it's not going to taste right. But it satisfies some people more than when they see a scripture. And I'm not even just talking about people that don't know God. I'm talking about people that know God. I'm talking about people that confess to be saved. Anyway, let it be in you richly. Then verse 17, we're talking about God's will, dying to our will and letting God's will rise in us. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, when we talk about your will, we have to check it with this scripture. Are you doing it unto God? Because if not, we're missing it. And I'll say this. We've all have missed. The Bible says we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Many times we fall short because we want to do our own thing. Thank God for his grace and his mercy and his chastising. That means him correcting, you know, it's like he got a belt. Get back there, Marquise. Get back there. Back in my will. Right? Sometimes God has to do that to us. But thank God that he does. Because the Bible says a good father will chastise his children so that they know what is right from wrong. Right? If your kid runs in the street and you do nothing about it and they get hit by a car, whose fault is that? The kids or yours? You're the one that's supposed to be teaching that kid that. I saw one of my friends on Facebook post that in the news they're promoting letting the kids make their own decisions. No matter how old these kids are, just let them grow up and do what they want to do, right? Guess what? That's not the will of God. Because the Bible says, children, obey your parents so that it may go well with you and your days will be long, right? That is, I mean, the world is getting more and more, just do what you want. Have it your way, like it's Burger King. Live life like Burger King. Have it your way, right? And God is saying, no. My way is the highway, right? My way is the right way. Your way will get you in trouble. Amen? So I'm going to stop there today because God's will has to become what we want in our lives. And in order for us to get that will and recognize that will, we must get to a place where we are excited about his word. Where when I read his Bible, I don't look at it as a task, but I look like, how can I get rich in God's word? I want his word to be in me. So when I start saying things, it's just like, oh, that was in the Bible. Wow. People look at me and they say, man, Marquise, sometimes you talking, the scriptures come out when you're preaching. It's because I'm reading his word. My parents did this. They made us read a scripture, at least a chapter a night before we went to bed. So by the time I was like 10, 12, I knew the Bible because they made a point to make this be part of my life. So now when I read it, I'm like, I gotta keep it in. Because guess what? I don't know about you. Have you tried to do a math problem you haven't done in 10 years, 12 years? Oh, how do I do division? Oh, shucks. I haven't practiced division. So guess what? I don't remember how to do it. And if you don't practice reading his word and practice applying his word, you're not going to know how to do it when a situation comes where you're supposed to be in the will of God. When you're supposed to be walking in the word of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray to God that your word would satisfy our souls' hunger, God. That it would satisfy us just like our favorite food. Just like all the different things we get or we chase after in life. Let us chase your word, God. So that we know your will. So that we walk in your will. So that we bring you favor, God. So that you are excited when you see us. God, I pray to God that our hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.